We're going to go to the book of Matthew. But before that, you guys have anything you want to ask from prayer? All right, let's go ahead and go to the prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed morning. We thank you for the kindness and mercy you have upon us. We ask that you open up our ears for today and soften our hearts. Give us wisdom, understanding. In these things we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. I'm not good with words, so I'm not going to go too much into the genealogy. I'm going to touch a little bit of the genealogy, but I'm not going to try to tackle all these words. So we're going to start in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah, and his brothers." And then I'm going to skip down here to 6, just so I don't mess up on his names. "And Jesse was the father of David, the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah." Down here to 11. "Joshua became the father of Jeconiah and his brother at the time of deportation of Babylon. After the deportation of Babylon, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. Then we're going to jump down here to 16. "Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah." So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed by Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through a prophet. 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' So Joseph woke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus." That's a blessed story. There's not really much to touch here. I didn't really go too much into the genealogy. But they were just, the writer had really wanted to make sure to point out that from Abraham to David was 14 generations. And then from David to the deportation was 14 generations. And from the deportation to the Messiah was 14 generations. So, kind of showing a little bit of a trend there. I don't know too much depth into that, but I just thought that was pretty interesting the way had the author wanted to make sure that the reader would know that information. And then I really appreciate the love that Joseph had for his future wife. He loved this individual enough that he did not want to disgrace her. If we think back to how they did back in those days, they could have stoned her for not being faithful. But him being loving and caring, he decided not to. And so he's trying to think of a way to privately dismiss the marriage and to let her go. But praise God that a dream came and a message came to him in a dream. And praise God that he was hearing enough that he heard that and understood it and decided to put faith into that and live that out. And so he took Mary and decided to go ahead and marry her. That takes a lot, because when you hear something and someone tells you something, you have to do two things with it. One, you either believe it, or two, you just let it go because you don't believe it. You kind of have to use a little logic. Think, well, is it truthful from what I can see, or should we just believe in what people say and go on? And I think Jesus uses a lot of good examples that we just take people at face value and believe them. It's not us to try to figure out the whole situation. Let God deal with it in the day of judgment. But we should just continue to love Joseph did. And just love and continue to go on. The boys' lesson for next week, since here in the United States, we're getting ready to do a day that we're going to say give thanks. And it's a tradition that was passed down, but I like to consider every day as a day of thanks. As a Christian, I thank the Lord daily for the sacrifices that Jesus did, that the motions that were placed in action, for everything that happens, good or bad, we should give thanks daily. So I want the boys to have a boys' lesson, consider even the older boys too, to come up with something that they give thanks for, either good or bad, because all things we should give thanks. So, your boys are going to, you two are going to come up and give last week's.
We were supposed to get an example of someone that spoke out of turn and got in, and for someone that did not, and I got Ahimeas, he wanted to go tell the king that of Absalom's death, and he was told not to, and then this other man was told to and to go, and but he begged to go and tell him, and then he finally said that he could just run, but he didn't give his permission to tell him and tell the king. And then he got there and said that there's something going on that he didn't really know about. And then the man that was supposed to come tell him came and told the king.
He had John the Baptist, because he made the promise he shouldn't have.
I thought about Esther. It seemed a little bit out of her place to go into the king and tell him, but it was actually good that she spoke up and saved her people and told the king.
I thought of Moses when he was leading the children of Israel through the desert. There was a man at Korah that was trying to lead a rebellion against him and become leader, but God killed him, opened up the earth, and got all of his followers, fell down in there, and then the earth closed up over him and killed them all.
In Acts 10, I thought about Cornelius. He was doing good and devoutly feared God with his whole household, and he gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. And so God saw what he was doing and then gave him this vision. And then he said that your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And then he gave a vision to Peter to go meet him. Then when Peter got there, there was assembled a great many people. So he was acting good.
In Mark 10, verse 13 and 14, some people were bringing children to Jesus for him to touch, and then the disciples rebuked the people, and Jesus got mad at them and told them to let the children come to him because of such is the kingdom. And so there's a lot I can learn from when Jesus would speak or not speak, and I like that verse.
The Amalekite thought that he was going to get a lot of praise from King David, and so he went and told a lie and told him that he himself had killed King Saul, and then King David was actually sad about it, and he said, "You actually told me that you killed the Lord's anointed," and so he had him killed.
A lot about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God told them not to eat out of the one tree of the garden, and they ate out of the tree and was thrown out of Garden of Eden forever.
It had this book, this little Indian boy, he's the chief's son, and his dad, father, let him go to a council meeting, and he spoke at a turn, and they gave him the name of the little boy with the big mouth, and he had to prove himself so that he wouldn't get called by his name anymore.
I'll preface this by saying that usually everything I think about in these lessons is about myself, because I need to work on myself, but... And I think about these things throughout the week because I feel like I'm being held accountable by what I say. I'm going to read a passage in James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin." And I just thought about how often it is that it's how easy it is to get puffed up and proud and start thinking, wow, I'm really doing good and I'm getting all my projects done. And I start getting focused on myself, and then I fall into sin. I lose. It says here, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin." And so I lose focus on the goodness of God and His, and following Him, and doing the things that I should, I lose focus on that and fall away from that. And then I thought of the verse, in the King James it actually says, I think it's David, and the Psalms says that he makes his boast in God. And so I looked that up in the Strong's, and saw in the, anyway, it's Psalms 33, verse 1 through 11. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall be praised in the Lord. Let the gentle hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my sojourning. Come to him and be enlightened, and your face shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him from all his afflictions. The angel of the Lord shall encamp around those who fear him, and he will deliver them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who hopes in him. Fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want for those who fear him. Rich men turned poor and went hungry, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And so there it is. If we fear the Lord and we make our boasts in him, then we'll have good things, and then we won't be boasting in things that we think are good when really they're just distractions from what's really good in reality.